Welcome back, loyal followers. Episode 19 of Mock the Podcast.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us today. So there is a famous music producer that everybody knows called Rick Rubin, right? Goes by the name of Rick Rubin. And he probably most notable for the Beastie Boys and early hip hop, Run DMC. And he kind of, in his dorm room, started Def Jam and has gone on to produce pretty much every
He did some Red Hot Chili Peppers, Black Crows, I think, right? I mean, he's produced
Slayer. He did Rain and Blood.
He did. Yeah. Okay. Wow. There you go.
So he's done a little bit of everything.
Yeah. All metal, cross genres,
and he's kind of this.
Would you call him wacky?
He's a guru. I'm going to call him a guru.
Yeah. He's got the big long beard, right?
Doesn't wear shoes. He's very meditative.
Okay.
Lives in Hawaii and is, kind of this self-proclaimed, like, he doesn't know anything about, can't work a board.
Yeah.
Doesn't know anything about music from a technical standpoint.
Sure, sure.
But just knows how to listen. And I think he's kind of known for being able to bring authenticity to the albums that he produces.
Yeah, I think that artists work with him because he has the panache of being able to extract creativity from them, right? Or get the true authentic performance, you know?
Deliver the essence of a band.
Yeah, exactly.
To
exactly.
an album. So anyway, he just put out a book, and it's called The Creative Act, A Way of Being. And we each have copies of this.
Yeah, you were kind enough to buy a couple copies for us.
Yeah, I thought it'd be an interesting read. So we're starting to kind of dive into it. We thought it might be an interesting idea to read a little bit of an excerpt from the beginning of the book and chat about it.
Yeah.
So with that, I'm going
to
give you
give it to me to read the quote?
The book and let you read the chapter. And
all right.
Then
I mean, right at the beginning of the book, and the book is in, I mean, I haven't read the whole book yet, but it's interesting in that it's a bunch of just little, not essays, but little snippets, dare I say, right? Multi-page snippets, right? About the concept of creativity, right? And right out of the get-go, I mean, boom. Like right at the beginning, he's got an interesting line that says, creativity is not a rare ability. It is not difficult to access. Creativity is a fundamental aspect of being human. It's our birthright, and it's for all of us, right? So I kind of highlighted that phrase there that, you know, it's not rare and it's not difficult to access, right? And we had talked on a previous podcast about creative inspiration and how do you get the sauce going or feeling the mojo or you got an assignment, boom, you got to be creative. It's not a light switch, Rob. How do I turn this on, you know?
Right.
And here's Rick Rubin, right, with a book that says, you know, a way of being basically creative. And he's saying, hey, it's our damn birthright. And not only is it our birthright, it's not rare at all.
Everybody's
and everybody's got it, right? So thoughts on that? I mean, I've got some immediate thoughts, but do you have anything that jumps to mind?
First off, let me say I don't disagree with that at all. In fact, I wholeheartedly subscribe to that theory. And the first thoughts that come to mind are, we talk about creativity as it relates to the land of commerce. Right? Because we're in the business of creativity.
Okay. I like that definition.
So that is kind of when we talk about creativity, you know, on this podcast a lot, we're talking about the business of being creative.
Yeah.
Which to me is just one little drop.
Yeah.
You know, it's one little droplet in the ocean of the broader notion of creativity. So I think about like, okay, well, let's go back to the early times.
Okay.
Someone had to invent fire. Someone had to figure out how to make fire.
Okay.
To survive.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Lightning, I don't know this for a fact. I'm making some assumptions here.
Yeah.
There was a lightning strike and a tree caught on fire.
Sure.
Somebody hobbled over to it and went, wow, this is warm.
This is toasty.
I could use
good.
This.
Yeah.
Perhaps
yeah.
I could make some soup or
yeah.
something delicious mm-hmm. with it to cook.
Yeah.
It
can also protect you.
It can protect you.
Yeah.
So I think about like creativity for me. And that idea starts back with like, okay, well then somebody had to figure out, okay, how can I harness this? How can I make fire? And then furthermore, this dinosaur, I mean, I guess it depends on what you believe.
Oh, no,
I tend to believe, this dinosaur is coming at me. I should probably club it do something to defend myself or something.
Sure.
Or I need to make something. So you had tools that were being created.
Okay.
To me, that's the essence of creativity, right? You're figuring out a solution to a problem.
Yeah.
Whatever that may be. So I think about it in kind of those terms.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think about it, and you're absolutely correct, and that creativity is such a broad umbrella. You know, engineering is creative. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, we do think about it, and me specifically, I do think about it more from a design perspective, more from an art perspective, right? Because I grew up and it was like, oh, I'm drawn in the corner, drawn over here. I've mentioned I love comics, you know, I'm drawing this character, I'm doing this, you know. And then you reach that point in your life where, you know, it's, oh, I can't, you hear that, I can't draw, you know.
Right.
I mean, oh, I wasn't born with that talent. You know what I mean? Like right. I had like, oh, you're so good at drawing, but I can't do that or this or that, right? Where I've always been like, no. It's just the 10,000 hours, Malcolm Gladwell. Like anybody can learn to draw. Anybody can learn to paint. Anybody can learn to play an instrument, you know. Are some people maybe more naturally adept? I don't know the answer to that. Maybe, I guess, you know. We've got the Mozarts of the world and different people that bring things to a new level artistically, right?
Right.
But I do agree with Rick Rubin that, you know, it's a fundamental part of being human. And that is kind of what, you know, makes us human, right? I mean, is more of the art side. So I always lean more towards the artistic side of things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's a little tricky when he says, hey, it's not difficult to access. You know, I think there is kind of that weird thing where, hey, everybody grows, at least in the United States, we all grow up in kindergarten and we're painting and we're doing all these little arts and crafts and this and that. And then there is that splinter, right? Where all of a sudden you kind of maybe don't have as many art classes anymore, or, you know, the creativity isn't necessarily as nurtured or as fostered, you know, for everyone, right?
Right.
Kind of become, you sort of self-select, right? If that makes sense, right?
If you think about it this way, if you think about, you know, I remember when my kids were super, super little, and I remember just some of the things that they would say and some of the questions they would ask and some of the ideas they would have.
Sure.
Were so incredible and far out there and like, wow, I could never come up with that. But to me, that is pure unadulterated, like just creativity.
Yeah.
And that's before society sort of, not on a soapbox and not in a bad way, but before you sort of learn what the lanes are that you operate in and function in as a person and whatever else.
Yeah, for sure. Know? Well, there's no self-censorship either.
No.
There's no fear of being judged. You know, it's just whatever happens into the mind of a four-year-old is what happens in the mind of a four-year-old, and you're just going with it.
And that, awesome. To me, goes to like when he says, it's your birthright, right? I mean, you're born with it. Like, you're just born creative. And then I think over time, some of that is, I don't know the right words for it, but some of that is not taken away from you, but it's not as wide.
It's left
wide
behind.
Open. It's left behind. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, you showed me yesterday, or I saw on your desk, a picture that your son drew.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah,
it was
wacky.
Like the craziest con. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
So it was these hands and these little people on it, and gravity was pulling these two forces in opposite directions. It's like, well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, where did that come from?
Yeah. I just said, hey, go draw me something, draw me a picture, draw me whatever. And that's what he came back with. And it was just super wacky, which I love. So I'm going to hang it in the office. So
I tend to agree with that. And I think that, you know, then what happens is then from an industry perspective, when we talk about, you know, creativity as it relates to commerce and what we do for a living, that's a whole different thing because then, and we've talked about it before, but then you have to learn to, I have to be creative in a way that makes sense for the task at hand. It has to be on a strategy. It has to be done by this day.
Yeah.
Like you're all of a sudden putting all of these sort of confines around creativity because it's being used to go market or sell something.
Sure, sure. Well, it isn't creativity for creative sake.
Right.
It is tapping back into the power of persuasion potentially, right?
Right.
And trying to convince somebody to buy something or to do something or whatever, right? So it kind of, the definition of creativity changes a little bit, right? But versus like the engineer that developed a creative product, you know what I mean? Or something along those lines, you know, like a media planner, right? That is unbelievably creative with media strategy, right? It's not necessarily a funny headline, but it's a new way to approach how to find, target audiences where they live or whatever the case may be.
I mean, we both love being creative with our taxes.
Oh boy. Yeah.
No, but if you think about like back to the book and Rick Rubin, his job as a producer is to come up with the most creative solution that he can to then put on an album to then be marketed out to the world that people will go buy.
Yeah.
So he's operating under that confines of what he has to do, but trying to get the most creative product within that package.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Within that thing.
Well, extract creativity from the talents at hand as well, which is interesting. Yeah, I'm excited to read more of this book and sort of see the different snippets of creativity and what that might mean. So once again, the title of the book is, let me get the cover here, The Creative Act, A Way of Being by Rick Rubin. It's a big book, too.
It's a big book.
Yeah. There's a lot of creativity, a lot of creative solutions in here.
A lot of good things are going to happen. So. All right.
All right, everybody.
That's a little discussion on creativity. Go out and buy the book.
Yeah.
So far, so good. Through page 5.
Well, it starts off with a banger.
That's good stuff.
We just talked about it for 15 minutes or whatnot. So.
Yeah.
All right. Tell us where the folks can find us.
You can find us in close to West Midtown. Atlanta, if you'd like to drop by the office.
Dogs will bark at you.
Dogs will bark at you for sure, but they're friendly.
Yeah.
You can find us on the interwebs, of course, at mocktheagency.com or on all the socials, Mock the Agency. And as always, let us know how we're doing.
Yeah.
And how awesome we are.
We're awesome.
Or how terrible we are. Either way.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Sugar and spice. So, all right, play us out, Mr. C.
Until next time.